Well, praise God, on Wednesday nights we've been talking about doubt. Doubt, the thief of God's greater blessings. I believe we're wrapping this up. See if we wrap it up tonight. I think we're getting close, but I think there's a little bit more here for us. So we don't want to be in a hurry. But I believe there's some more here. Why don't we, let's see. Why don't you go ahead and turn over to Matthew. We'll start there. We've covered this a number of times, but let's turn over to Matthew. It's on your sheet, too, if you need that. Matthew 13, verse 53. Matthew 13, verse, what did I say it right? 53. It says there, "Now it came to pass when Jesus had finished these parables that he departed from there. When he had come to his own country, he taught them in their synagogue, so that they were astonished and said, 'Where did this man get this wisdom and these mighty works? Is this not the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary? And his brothers James, Joseph, Simon, and Judas, and his sisters, are they not all with us? Where then did this man get all these things?' So they were offended at him. But Jesus said to them, 'A prophet is not without honor except in his own country and in his own house.' Now he did not do many mighty works there because of their unbelief." And if you look on your sheet there, Mark 6, verses 5 and 6, same account. It's in a different gospel. It says, "Now he could do no mighty work there except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and healed them, and he marveled because of their unbelief. Then he went about the villages in a circuit teaching." So we've been talking about doubt and unbelief. Doubt and unbelief will rob us of what God wants us to have. God has good plans for us. He's already provided everything we need in this life through Jesus. But we can be robbed of what's rightfully ours. You know, that's true in the natural. You can be robbed of what's rightfully yours. If somebody can swindle you out, if somebody can get you to believe something that's not true, they can swindle you out of something that's rightfully yours. And the devil's a thief. The Bible calls him a thief. So he is always trying. If he can't stop a person from getting born again, then he's going to try to stop you from enjoying any of the privileges that Jesus bought and paid for us. Because he hates God. He's never going to change. You know, we were talking about deception, and to think on things that are true on Sunday. We've been talking about that for a few weeks. But we'd covered those scriptures in Revelation where it talks about Satan being a deceiver, that he goes about and deceives the nations. And then it says he's going to be locked up for 1,000 years, and then he's going to get out, and he's going to go right back to deceiving. So he is not going to change. That's what he does. It doesn't matter. He's locked up for all. He's going to come back out. He's going to do the same thing. This is what he does. He attempts to deceive people, and he's a liar, and he hates God. He's against God. And so if he can't stop a person from becoming a child of God, his next thing is to try to shut you down, shut me down, and keep us from partaking of what's ours. He wants to stop us from partaking of our inheritance. He knows full well that if you're a born-again child of God, that you have the Holy Spirit, the most powerful being in the universe, living on the inside of you, that you have access to anything that you could need. And you could stop right there. If you know that you have the third person of the Godhead living inside of you, what else do you need? What else could you possibly want for? Well, I don't know what to do in this situation. You have the one that created the worlds, the one that has all wisdom living on the inside of you. Well, I just don't know, you know, if I have enough strength to get this job done. You have the very right hand of God, the power behind the creation of the universe. You know, I don't know if I have self-control. Well, you have the God in you, that the fruit of the Spirit, one of them is self-control. We have whatever we need. But if Satan can convince us we don't, or get us to doubt that, then we won't partake of what is rightfully ours. And so we've seen, and I don't have time to cover everything we've gone through, but that doubt will rob us. Unbelief will rob us. Let's see. I want to go back to, let's go just on your sheet for the sake of time, Matthew 17, because I want to go a little bit further in this one direction. But Matthew 17, 14, it says, "And they, when they had come to the multitude, a man came to him, kneeling down to him, and saying, 'Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is an epileptic and suffers severely, for he often falls into the fire and often into the water. So I brought him to your disciples, but they could not cure him.' Then Jesus answered and said, 'O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long should I bear with you? Bring him here to me.' And Jesus rebuked the demon, and it came out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Then the disciples came to Jesus privately and said, 'Why could we not cast it out?' So Jesus said to them, 'Because of your unbelief, for assuredly I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you.'" So what did Jesus say the reason was that they could not cast the demon out? He said it was because of their unbelief. And we saw this, we read this last time. Matthew 10 there on your sheet. It says, "And when," Matthew 10, 1, "and when he had called his 12 disciples to him, he gave them power over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease." So Jesus had, called the 12 disciples to him, and this is in Matthew 10, so that's before Matthew 17. He gave them power over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease. So they had the power. They were already commissioned by Jesus to do these works, yet they, when push came to shove, they didn't believe it. They didn't act on it. They were robbed. And Jesus told them straight up why. I encourage you, if you missed last week, to go back and listen to that, because we hit that pretty hard. So you can have the power of God living on the inside of you and not use it. It wasn't for lack of power that the disciples couldn't get the job done. It was lack of faith. It was unbelief. That you couldn't say they didn't have the power, because Jesus said, where we just read in Matthew 10, he gave them power. See, they had the power. They had the power. They did not use it. Let's turn over to Acts. Acts 6. Just because you have the Holy Spirit on the inside of you doesn't mean you're using what you have. Just because you have the power of the living God on the inside of you does not mean we're using what we have. Just because a person is, you can be born again, filled with the Spirit of God, speaking in other tongues, you know, with the evidence of speaking in other tongues, and not use it. Walking around with all the power you will ever need to come against anything in your life and not use it. But on the other hand, we can use it. Acts 6, verse 1. You there? Acts 6, verse 1, it says, "Now in those days when the number of the disciples was multiplying, there arose a complaint against the Hebrews by the Hellenists because their widows were neglected in the daily distribution. Then the 12 summoned the multitude of the disciples and said, 'It is not desirable that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Therefore, brethren, seek out from among you 7 men of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business, but we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word.' And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and the Holy Spirit, and Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte from Antioch, whom they set before the apostles, and when they had prayed, they laid hands on them. So you can see here, they chose seven men of the Holy Spirit, full of the Holy Spirit. But look in verse 8. Verse 7 and 8, we'll read 7. Then the word of God spread, and the number of the disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests were obedient to the faith. And Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and signs among the people. Now notice Stephen for a moment. In this passage, we see that seven men were chosen, and all of them were full of the Holy Ghost, of the Holy Spirit. Stephen was not only full of the Holy Ghost, but he was full of faith and power. Verse 8. So you see, you can be full of the Holy Spirit. You can be full of the Holy Ghost. That's just an old English word. That's the way the original King James says it. It's just an old English word for spirit. But you can be full of the Holy Spirit and not do a thing in the world for God if you don't have faith. I'm going to say that again. You can be full of the Holy Spirit and not do a thing in the world for God if you don't have faith. And there are plenty of people like this. That's not to condemn anybody, but the fact is, we can be full of the Holy Spirit, be baptized with the Holy Spirit, with evidence of speaking in tongues, have the powerhouse walking around with us, and yet not do anything, and not believe that we have any power. In fact, believe that we are powerless. Believe that we're just destined in life not to do whatever. You know, you don't have to be just necessarily at the lowest threshold or something that you're beating your head up against something every day and just feel like, I mean, you know, not, how to say it. There are people that are not doing anything for God, per se. When I say that, they're not serving the kingdom of God because they believe, even if they're high functioning in a number of areas, they don't believe that God is able to get them through and to bring them over certain areas and not able to help them. So they act like God is not really powerful on the inside of them, not able to get them through their challenge. Even if they come against certain things, they're high functioning in work and deal with certain problems, there are certain things that they will not believe. They believe they don't have the power to overcome. Mm-hmm. And there's people that believe they can't do what God told them to do. They don't have the ability to do what God told them to do. They just feel like maybe God has not equip them, like he's asking them to do something, but, you know, they don't actually have what they need, and they need more from God before they can do what God has calling them to do. That's a lie. That would mean God's unjust. That'd be like me asking you to go buy something for me that costs $20 without giving you the $20. I mean, and you say you didn't have any money or, you know, something that's $20,000 and you don't have the money on you, but I'm telling you, go do it, but I'm not giving you what you need. Or I'm setting you up to try to do something that I know you can't do, but, you know, that would be unjust. That's not the way God operates. If he asked us to do something, if he told us we can do something, then we have the ability to do it. But what a lot of people fall in the trap of thinking, I need more from God. I need something more. I can't do this. But the fact is, either we believe the Bible or not, if we believe that we're born again, and that when we're born again, the Holy Spirit comes to reside in us, and when you're baptized in the Holy Spirit, it's an additional experience whereon you're endued with power. If you believe that, then how could we possibly believe that and still believe that we don't have what we need to overcome something that's in front of us in this life? That would be like saying God doesn't have the power. But the fact is, a lot of times we don't believe that we actually have the power to do it. We're waiting for something else to happen. We're waiting till we feel like we have power. This is exactly why people will have really good days and then they'll have really bad days. It's because sometimes, you know, if you're going by feelings, this is what will happen. Because when you feel good, you feel like God's real and God's really working. Maybe you have a good day, so now you believe that God's working in your body. You believe for healing and you don't have any pain and you're like, glory to God, it's working. And then the next day you have a pain and you say, what happened? You go back to being depressed. Why? Because, well, it's not working. And then the next day, maybe it still feels like it's not working. But then you wake up and you're like, glory to God, I don't have any pain. It's working, hallelujah. And then you get back on believing. That's why people do this. That's exactly why. Because God, did God change? No, our belief changed. Because we're letting circumstance sway us. That's doubt. Let me ask you a question. If you woke up with pain in your body, did that mean the Holy Spirit is all of a sudden not residing on the inside of you?
No.
Is he still there?
Yes.
He just flew away. He decided he needed a break from you. Even if he thought he needed a break from you, he wouldn't leave. Because the Bible said he wouldn't leave us. He would never leave us. So even if you're, you know, blabbing and you're talking stuff you shouldn't, and he's still not going to leave us. Even if he's not going to take a break, but sometimes people wake up, they go, I just don't feel good. So I don't feel like God's real. I don't feel like it's working. And so then your belief follows that, and you don't believe that. So you think, I need something from God. You won't vocalize it, but you feel like you need something extra. But nothing changed. Did it change? Not really. Some people spend money when they feel like they have the money, even though their bank account didn't change. Well, I'm giving an extra big tip today, and I'm going to go out and buy something because I just feel like everything's going to be okay. Because you're in faith. But then some days you feel like a Scrooge because I don't know where this bill all of a sudden popped up. And so there's these other things, and suddenly, even though how much you had in the account and really your condition financially hasn't changed, suddenly you don't feel quite as generous because you're feeling like maybe it's not going to happen in the future, so I'm going to be tight. That's a dangerous thing, because if you're in one of those modes where you think you feel like everything's okay and you start spending money left and right, maybe, you know, you end up in a bad place. But that's where, when we look at, when we're walking by feelings, that's where it gets us. But doubt is robbing many Spirit-filled believers of the best that God has for them. Does everybody here believe that God wants us to have good things?
Yes.
Okay, so if we really believe that, then in the face of something that doesn't look like it, we need to know that right then, the Holy Spirit is still inside of us and he's still there to help us. So if we really believe it, it's not just what we say because, you know, that's what we believe in this. We're word of faith or whatever, you know. So we believe that. So, yeah, if somebody asks us that, of course we're going to say yes. The test is, when we're faced with something, are we still going to believe that God is as much inside of us then as he is right now sitting in church?
Yes.
And that we have every bit of power that we're ever going to need in us. If doubt's robbing us, we have the power, but we're not using it. The Holy Spirit on the inside of us is not being put to work. I want to read you an account Brother Hagin wrote. He said, a number of years ago, I read in the Pentecostal Evangel about a fellow down in Africa who was a convert of some missionaries. He was a native evangelist of Africa. He had been reading about what God had been doing here in America, and he'd read about the works that some evangelists were doing for God. He said he was going to fast and pray until God gave him that power also. So he decided to go on a 21-day fast so he could get the power of God. About the 10th day of the fast, the Lord spoke to him and told him to get up and stop fasting because the power was already in him and all he had to do was start using it. So that's exactly what he did. He began to utilize the power he already had, and before he knew it, they were calling him the Billy Graham of Africa. His meetings drew crowds up to 80,000 people in attendance. He was going to fast until he got the power, but the Lord told him that he already had the power, the person of the Holy Spirit dwelling in him. So doubt robbed people of the best that God had for them. We read it in Matthew. We've read it in Mark. We've read it in these different accounts where just because the disciples had the power of God, just because the disciples had been commissioned to use the power of God, if they didn't do anything with it, if they didn't act on it, it did them no good. And that's the same way it is for us. Do you realize every person in here? Let me see your hands. How many of you are filled with the Holy Spirit? Born again and filled with the Holy Spirit? Okay. Then we all qualify. So right now, whether you feel like it or not, you have the power of God living on the inside of you, and we need to put it to work. It's just like this guy, though. So right now, you may be sitting there and say, well, I don't know. I don't feel like it right now. Maybe you had a bad day. Well, everybody can have a challenging day once in a while. It doesn't mean that we have to let it get us down. So right now, we're going to put this to action. Now, we've heard this is the shorter service tonight. You know, we spent some time in praise and worship extra. But just right now, with what you've heard even right now. See, sometimes you can listen to messages. Those of you that have been here, I don't think this is new to anybody in here. But some of you have been here, you've listened to this mess, you've listened to things that we've talked about doubt. I think everybody in here has heard something to the effect of what we're talking about. And if we know we have the Holy Spirit living on the inside of us, if we know we've been commissioned, if we know Jesus has died for us, if we know that the Holy Spirit of God is the power of God and living on the inside of us, then whether we feel like it right now, we have it. And if you wait till you feel like it to use it, if you say, well, I just don't feel pumped up enough right now, you're missing the whole point. Because right now, it's just like the man that we just read about that said, well, I'm going to go fast until I get the power. And God eventually told him, you have it, start using it. And right now, we can be in that state right now. You feel, well, I don't feel like it. Maybe next week. That's the problem. Because whether we feel like it or not, we have it right now. Everybody raise their hand and say, I'm born again and that I'm filled with the Holy Spirit. Therefore, you qualify. Now. Everybody say now.
Now.
Whether you feel like it or not, now.
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 The day you got born again, you had the Holy Spirit inside you. The day you were filled with the Holy Spirit, you could act on any of the promises of God just like anybody else. And so, most of the time, it's not lack of knowledge, it's lack of acting. Amen?
Amen.
So right now, why don't you stand to your feet? We've spent time in the presence of God. We've stirred ourselves up along these lines, and I know we didn't spend a real long time tonight. But we need to act on what we've heard. We need to act on the fact that God has... He has filled us with the Holy Spirit. He has given us the very powerhouse of God. I want to read you Acts 10. Where is that on my sheet? Acts 10:38. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and what? Power. Who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil. We, if we've believed God, were anointed by the Spirit of God. We have the Spirit of God living on the inside of us. So right now, I want us to act on this. I want you to draw a line in the sand. I want, there are certain things that I know each person, there are certain people that are facing certain things that have been a challenge for some time. And the fact is, we have the answer on the inside of us right now. I don't care if you feel like it. I don't care if you haven't thought about this for a while. I don't care if you think, well, my faith is just not where it should be. Okay? One way is to start acting on what you know and acting on the Word regardless of what you feel. When you start acting on the Word, your feelings will follow. You start acting like the Word is true. So many times our problem is waiting until we feel like it's true to act, but that's not faith. That's not acting in faith. And some of you may be in that position right now. You're like, well, okay, I don't really feel like it, but I'll try to get it. It's not try. Right now, we need to say, Lord, I take you at your word. You are on the inside of me. You have anointed me. You have bought and paid for anything that I need through the Lord Jesus. I don't know what you're facing, but you do. You don't need me to lay hands on you. You don't need me to speak a word to you. What you need is to act on the Word right now. And the Word says that the Holy Spirit is on the inside of us. Right now, that we know that all the power, all the wisdom, all the healing, all the direction, anything that we need is already available to us right now. So I want you don't have to say things out loud, but I want you to act on it and start believing what the Word of God says right now, and start drawing on the power and believing that what he said is true. Believe that the Holy Spirit is there to accomplish anything you need to accomplish in your life. Whatever you need help with, he is called the helper, and he will help you if you call on him. Hallelujah.